When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and I'm in here with Busy Banks.
Get money, what's the word?
How you feeling, man? Busy Banks. I'm a big fan. I'm not going to lie. We've been talking about doing this for years.
Nah, hell yeah, like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I hit you up a long time ago. I follow all these fucking different journalists and stuff who talk about drill music and whatever the hell's going on in New York and stuff, and I just remember somebody writing a little article about you, and I just got super tuned in right then and there.
Nah, that's fire.
Yeah, so what brings you to town? You at Rolling Loud or something?
Yeah, I was supposed to do Rolling Loud. I didn't even go, though. Somebody was supposed to bring me out, but other than that, I'm really just out here recording.
Someone was supposed to bring you out, and then something happened?
Nah, ain't nothing really happened. Just woke up too late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, everybody being screwed up by the scheduling stuff.
Yeah, that's really what it was. I think the day that I thought I was supposed to get brought out, like, Friday.
Uh-huh.
And the person who was supposed to bring me out was really supposed to bring me out for Saturday. Okay. So it was like a miscommunication. So I already had, like, fake gave up on it already.
Oh, all right. Everybody, like even Cardi had to get off stage super early. Like, I'm assuming he just showed up late. And he was, like, headlining one of the days.
Mm.
Interesting.
Well, he still had a good performance, though.
No, yeah. It was a little demonic, though, in a lot of people's opinions.
Yeah, he'd be going crazy.
You see that, though? What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I saw it on the gram. I don't know. That's regular Cardi.
Yeah,
I'm kind of used to it.
But it's gotten darker over the years, for sure. Or, like, a lot more just rock and roll, like, a lot more, like, evil. I was like, you know, like, you saw the video of the girl freaking out about it?
Oh, yeah, when she was talking about it?
Yeah.
Like, leaving the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's his lane. That's what he do, so it's like.
I've previously said that I wasn't a huge fan of, like, Whole Lotta Red. I might have to give it another re-listen, though. Because I'm going to be real with you. Like, I always liked metal, where they're, like, you know, it's dark. They're talking about evil shit, satanic shit. They're not mostly, like, Satan worshipers. They're just saying crazy stuff because it sounds cool in music and stuff. And so I kind of appreciate the fact that Cardi is, like, making all these normal hip-hop fans kind of, like, question what they're even into, because it has just, like, a completely different vibe than you've probably ever seen at a rap festival.
Nah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really deep into to all of that.
It's not your style.
Yeah, nah, not but, really. My sister used to bump a lot of rock and roll, though. I forgot the name. You know the song when they be like we about to build a prison, we about to build a prison. Some rock song. I forgot. They like,
I don't know.
I don't remember their name, but she used to listen to all that.
Yeah, I mean, so
when I be seeing it, it's like you said, like they been saying little lyrics like that.
And yeah. Some old news from my experience, most of the people I know from the streets don't know anything about metal. It's just like there's no overlap. Like they just have not really been exposed to it. But I feel like if they were exposed to it, that they would be able to appreciate it.
Nah, yeah. I don't know. I listened to everything growing up, so.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. So you're from Brooklyn?
Yeah, Brooklyn, New York.
Where exactly?
East New York.
Okay, so you.
Yeah, I grew up like in Crown Heights. You know, I was living with my grandma's. You know how it is in the hood. Like,
right.
You gotta live with your grandma sometimes and a lot going on. So I grew up a little bit in the Heights. I went to school in the Heights, so I could say that. Yeah, I'm really from East New York, though.
Crown Heights versus East New York in terms of the vibe. How would you compare the two?
I mean, they both treacherous. I mean, East New York is different, though. Like,
right.
From the East, you really know what's going on. That's like what you hear about when you hear about the hoods in New York? Like, what's the most hood you hear about that's, like, terrible?
Well, like, everybody just talks about Brownsville, exactly. And East New York.
It's literally the same thing as Brownsville.
Because it's
connected.
It's so far that it's, like, the most resistant to gentrification.
Yeah, Brownsville and East New York, the exact same.
Crown Heights is an easy call. Got to gentrify that. It's too close.
Yeah,
too valuable.
Crown Heights is more closer to the style. I mean, Crown Heights is really close to Brownsville, too. Like, because, like, when you go up the hill on Southern and Rutland, that's when it turned into Crown Heights. You start seeing Utica, Eastern Parkway, and all that.
Right.
But Crown Heights is easier to kind of, like, gentrify, though, because it's closer to Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
I was about to say the full name, but, yeah, it's closer to the Stuy. But East New York and Brownsville is, like, connected to each other. So when you leaving out Brownsville, you're going right into East New York. East New York just like Brownsville.
Right. And so growing up But you left East New York at what age, and at what point did you start mostly residing in Crown Heights?
Nah, I was in Crown Heights when I was young, like when I was in like fourth to like really like third to fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
I used to go to PS12 in Crown Heights. Well, from Crown Heights, you know where PS12 at. I used to go to PS12, and then I used to go to 191. I used to be on St. John's in Buffalo. And then I left, like, sixth grade out, went straight to East New York.
That's one thing I love about New York is that the public schools are just, like, a number.
Yeah.
It's like every other place I've ever been in my life, when like, the schools have names. They're named after somebody, but it's somehow in New York, there's so many schools.
My high school had a name, though, instead of a number. Well, right. It had a number, too. It was both.
Because usually they would have both, right?
Yeah, in fact.
But usually, like, a lot of people wouldn't really use the full name, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay, but, like, how would you describe your upbringing? You have metal detectors when you're going into high school and stuff?
Yeah, hell yeah. Metal detectors, come in, bring your phone in. You know, there's always ways to get past that, though.
Right.
Just like that. Middle school, we ain't really have metal detectors. There'd probably be a metal detector once in a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'd do some random shit.
Right.
So, other than that, but high school always had a metal detector, though.
That was something that we used to always just hear about as kids, and we always thought it sounded crazy. Just the metal detector thing. Just the idea that it was that common that kids would bring guns to school.
Nah, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But so would you say that your high school experience was wild? Was it pretty out of control, or was it?
I don't know. My high school experience, regular. I was lit in high school, so I don't really know how to explain it.
Lit? You were just a popular kid?
Yeah. Everybody knew me. I had four schools in one. Whole school knew me. Like, all four schools knew me.
Four different schools that you were tapped in with?
In one building. It's four schools in one building.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the point of them even being separate schools?
I don't know. I really don't.
Interesting. All right. So why would you say, like, what kind of person were you that you had so many good relationships like that?
I could curse right now. I can't really curse.
Of course,
And I was just fucking a lot of bitches. So it was like, you know how that go. Always females always talking about me. It wasn't a lot of niggas in my school either. My school specifically, I went to Prospect Heights. So it's a part of my school. It's like a performing arts school. It's called BSMT. That's the one I went to.
Mm.
It's like 10% of boys in there.
10?
Yeah.
How does a guy even get access? It sounds like it would be like the most desired place on earth if you're a dude.
All the homies went to other schools like around the building. But the school I was in, it wasn't that much for me. So it's like.
That's wild.
Straight females, yeah.
I always heard that about certain colleges and shit. I was like 80% girls. I'm like, that's unbelievable. How the fuck did I grow up not knowing about this?
Would have been one there.
Yeah. That's an easy call. Because it's like, then there's going to be like a scarcity mind state where you're going to have girls fighting over you probably.
Nah, yeah. It was getting crazy in high school. I ain't going to lie.
Were you rapping in high school, or when did that come
about? I was always rapping. I was rapping since like elementary.
Uh-huh.
I used to always just freestyle, though. I wasn't like really making no songs, really.
Right.
So just always freestyling. When I got to high school, I wasn't taking it serious, but I was doing little ones and two freestyles. Probably mention somebody in it, like a, you know, like little situation or something. You know, the school would go crazy. Me and my son Eli and my son Drizzy, we was doing music in high school together.
So that was the cheat code even at the time that you were talking about beef and stuff?
Nah, I wasn't really beef. It's like how I rap now. Like I say a little sneaky line that certain people will know and it just go crazy. Like, so I really probably mentioned a female in the song. Like I had a freestyle when I mentioned the female and nobody knew like what me and her really had going on. I ain't exposed her nothing, but I just said like a little line and then
Right. Everybody
just started putting two and two together. So, you know, the school like, oh, y'all heard the shit Busy came with? Like,
cause if you say anything crazy dissing somebody in school, you probably get suspended or whatever, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't go through that.
I feel like that would just be an easy like bullying case or whatever.
Nah, I wasn't bullying. I don't do nothing like that.
I forgot to ask about this. You grew up Rasta?
Yeah, my mom and dad.
So what was that like?
It was the same. I mean, it's not really. It just more what's the word for it? Like, humble me, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, growing up different, it just made me move a different way. So it's like I was just on a different religion. I mean, it's like basically a religion for me. So
right.
It's like on Saturday we got Sabbath, which I'm pretty sure another religion have that.
Oh, yeah.
What religion?
Jews
do Sabbath, Muslims do Ramadan, but
yeah,
it's the same thing. Like you got to pray five times a day every Saturday. It's certain times, and you can't eat until the sun go down, which is mostly like 6 p.m. Uh-huh. That's a new day in Ethiopia. A lot of people be thinking like Rastas is like straight from Jamaica, but you know, it's like everything is really from Ethiopia though.
Do you still believe in that?
Nah, yeah.
Do you still pray five times a day or like how?
I don't pray five times a day, but I still follow it. Like that's really my life. So it's like, you know, I'm used to fasting. Like I could fast on a Saturday if it's possible. I don't follow it 100% anymore.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I still go in the crib, pray, Bible.
You fast a whole day?
Yeah, I could. I basically do that on a regular though. I don't really eat till like nighttime.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tough. You think that's why you're so skinny?
Yeah, that's why I'm little.
I've eaten like 3-4 meals a day, dude. I don't know if I could sit in here and like be able to have conversations for hours without being able to eat.
I'm used to it. And then, you know, Rastas is like vegan. It's a difference, vegetarian and vegan. I don't remember which one is which, but.
Well, vegans don't eat, you know, eggs or any animal products, cheese.
That's how I grew up. So I couldn't drink regular milk, couldn't eat regular cheese, couldn't eat cheese, doodles, honey buns, shit like that. But then, you know, as I get older, I start just thugging, doing what I want
to
do.
It's all about like how deep you want to go with it. Because I remember when I was trying to be vegan in high school, I realized at a certain point, like, oh, there's a lot of bread I can't eat.
Yeah,
because bread
it has
eggs
stuff
and
in
shit.
It,
yeah, which was like kind of mind blowing to me. Like, oh shit, I'm expected to take it that serious. I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, I was a kid, so I had to listen to my mom. I had to listen to my dad, so I had to do it. But the time I started getting like 10, 11, and I'm watching everybody eat like bacon, egg, and cheese and shit.
It's gotta be tough to hold on, right?
I gotta see what that's about. Like, word.
Damn. All right. So
and then it was only my mom and dad too. So like when I go to my grandparents' house, my cousin's house, they not following that. So it's like it's more like that.
Right. Interesting. Okay, so you're kind of getting turned out right from an early age as well, yeah.
Basically.
Interesting. Turned out to like, you know, cheese doodles or whatever the case might be. All right, so you finished high school?
Yeah, hell yeah, I graduated.
And what did you do after that?
Nothing. I attempted to go to college. That's the crazy part, but I never sat in a college class though. I did the FAFSA, I did all that.
You signed up and did all the preparation stuff?
I went to the building. I was running late. I was in my man's 40. I was running late. And like when I went to the classroom door, the whole class looked at me, the professor, the students. And he was like, are you supposed to be in here? I'm like, nah, I don't think this is the class I'm supposed to be in. And I just left the building.
You just kind of got cold feet or what?
Yeah, I just got out of there. I don't know. I don't be liking too much attention. Like I wasn't really worried about college. I was just doing it because it's like my older sister actually went to college. Like she's the only person in my family that went to college. So I was trying to do it just to be like, I mean, second person and make it cool. I ain't really want to do it though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just, if you don't want to do it, it's so much work.
Yeah. I wasn't ready for that. Like, I didn't even think I was going to graduate high school. So me graduating high school was enough for me. Honestly.
Right.
Like, I was always good in school though. But you know, as you start getting older, like shit starts switching up.
I feel like I could easily go through college now because I know what it's like to have a job or like, you know, to work like all the time. And but as a young dude, like I just didn't have that drive at all.
But as I'm older, I'm realizing that's basically what school was preparing you for.
Yeah.
To wake up early, have a schedule, move around in life, stop being lazy. Like I realized that now that I'm older. When I was younger, I used to be like, why the fuck I gotta go to school at 8 o'clock, like getting there like 11:30. But now that I'm working, feel me, and I gotta be at an interview at a certain time or it just, I'm like, yeah, basically, like, school is basically training you for the real world, basically. Like, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, definitely. No, it gives you that structure. And, like, yeah, as, when you're a kid, it's just, you don't want to get up early to go to school. You don't want to.
Because you don't understand it, though.
Yeah, it seems terrible. But then you get older and you start to go to work. And, like, you know, you make music. I do interviews. We both have jobs that are pretty much, like, as cool as it gets for most people, would say. But realistically, like, most people, like, if you were a fucking trash man or you do construction, whatever, it's like, this is just school, but it's you're not learning. You're just working. You're just doing something over and over.
You're learning while you're working, though. But I get what you're saying.
But, you know, it's like, you know, it's work is just going to be so much fucking harder than school because it's serious. It's like you have to create value for the company that's hiring you. It's just, like, you know, a completely different analysis, whereas just going to school and learning, as soon as you have a job, it just seems very luxurious. Yeah. But, okay, so you're just kind of hanging out at that point, or what were you up to? You have a job?
I had a job for, like, 4 days. Everything was, like...
What job?
I actually signed up to be a paraprofessional. I did it for, like, 4 days. I ended up going to Florida.
And what even is that?
Paraprofessional. That's, like, when you work with, like you ever been in school and there's, like, two teachers in the room?
Okay.
Like, one teacher is with a specific student. So it was like that. But, like, the student, like, the student have a disability, probably that's why they need that teacher.
So okay.
The kid I was working with, he couldn't hear out his left ear. But I just did like the weekend though. I probably worked like Wednesday to Friday, and then I went to Florida for the weekend. And I didn't go Monday. Then they called me like, like, why you ain't come? I'm like, I'm in Florida right now. Like, I don't know. My mom wasn't on. I was doing so much.
What were you doing in Florida?
Just chilling.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm moving around. Like,
girls, money to be made.
Yeah, money to be made.
Mm. Interesting. What kind of stuff you have going on at that time? You in the streets?
Yeah.
The Florida streets?
Florida streets? No, I wasn't in the Florida streets. For me, you know, you could do your ones and twos around all the states.
Right.
Once you know what you're doing and what you're going there for.
Interesting. Some moves to be made down in Florida. Actually, I could think of some stuff that you could get in Florida that might be more desirable in New York. Might be able to charge a premium in New York. That kind of thing.
Oh, no, man.
I'm just trying to put it together. Okay. So, all right. The paraprofessional thing doesn't work out.
No.
What's
that? That was my only, like, real job, though.
Right.
That was like, 2017. So I've had a real job for like 4 days. I never really went to college, but I applied, so I guess I went. But I dropped all my classes though.
Right. Yeah. So you just dropped everything, and then what are you doing at that point? Like, is rapping part of the conversation at this point?
Yeah, I was rapping. I wasn't like 2017. I think I just dropped a song called like Nine Shots. I probably dropped Nine Shots 2016, 2017. I don't really remember.
And Nine Shots. Like, what made you want to make that the first record?
Nine Shots wasn't really my first record. So, like, I was lit in high school. So, I been had clout. I mean, I always just knew everybody. So, I always was, like, known. For me? And high school is just when I started really posting music. So, I was with my son Drizzy, RP Driz, and I was with my son Eli. And we were just like remixing songs, like in New York, because I meeting a lot of people don't really be on Facebook no more. It'd be like a Twitter thing. So I feel like New York just like got like a Facebook thing. Like everybody in New York don't really be on Twitter like that on the regular, unless you like lit from your have business being on Twitter. So back then everybody was Facebook famous. I mean, so we were just doing like little freestyles on Facebook and it'd get like views and stuff like that. Then I just ended up dropping a song called Nine Shots.
Right.
And I was doing music with some other people too, like before that.
Who?
A couple of the bros. Bando. I was rapping with Bando. Me and Bando started doing music together like 2017, going into 2018.
Right.
My son Nas. Somebody named Shakur. That's about it. I was really just with those three people. But I was with Eli and Drizzy and Shakur first though,
mm-hmm.
So it was like that.
Okay, and so as soon as you start dropping music, did you start doing some numbers right away, or how did you go about getting a fan base?
So Facebook, I was going viral already. Well, viral for me, I wasn't doing like a million views or a million likes for me. But I was doing like a little 15K likes for me, probably like 50,000 views or something like for me in that range, like 8K, 4K, 5K likes. And then when I started dropping on SoundCloud, when I dropped Nine Shots on SoundCloud, that actually went crazy. I touched like 100,000 plays. So I was started taking music serious from there. And then I started rapping with Bando. Me and Leaky G Bando, we dropped Minor Situations. Well, I've been had songs with him, but we wasn't like cool. Me and him had songs because of my son, Nas. Then Bando kinda was like buzzing. He wasn't like buzzing crazy. Like we wasn't doing like 100K, 200K like everybody doing now. You know, like back then it was like when New York Fake just started getting everything together. So probably was like doing like 10K in 2 weeks or something.
Right.
So that's big to us.
New York getting it together in the sense of like Drill Records kind of having like a sort of built-in fan base,
yeah,
like the way it seems now, right?
Yeah, because it's like 2013, I think that's when Bobby and them kind of went crazy, brought everything back. And then, you know, everything started, you know, dying out a little bit. And then, you know, like Bambino and came back, brought it back like 2014, 2015.
All right, you tell me if I'm tripping though, because when we had conversations about New York drill, I said that Bobby Shmurda wasn't like sonically a drill rapper, but that still to me kind of was like it initiated the drill era in a sense. Because even though his music wasn't really sounding like drill, it everything else in terms of the video, in terms of the stuff that he was into at the time.
Nah, Bobby and them wasn't drill rappers, but you still got to give them their credit because they brought the spotlight back on New York regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say that, I don't really be caring. Cause right. It makes sense. Like, if it wasn't for them, like, New York probably would never been, like, right. Like, somebody else would have brought it back for me.
Right.
I'm talking about, like, for all the gangsters that's rapping and how he was rapping and what he was rapping about, the spotlight would have never been on that.
Who made you want to make drill-style music?
Chief Keef.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the person who rolled it out for me.
Right.
So, like, 2020, he came out, like, album of Chief Keef, like, 2011. I believe 2011 or 12.
Right, when
first
came out.
He had Bang and all that.
Yeah.
All that old stuff before he started doing Love Sosa and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was like when I really was starting to come outside. We was having brawls, fighting, Kane. So from the East, like.
Right.
He was getting beat up for BB belts. All types of shit was going on in the East. So that's when Chief Keef was really coming out. So I was bumming Chief Keef for years. So I've been switching my style from like regular rapping to like kind of drill, like 2012.
Right. You weren't tapped in on like a lot of the London shit, the English style rap that a lot.
I ain't really hear about.
Those beats didn't really come into fashion until.
I wasn't into play till like probably like 2016, I think.
Yeah.
Like 2016, 2017 when it came into play.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. You were getting it in the streets, it would be fair to say. You had a lot of situations. Is that part of what made you want to come out as a rapper? Is you had stuff to comment on?
I always was rapping. For me, that's basically what I was saying. Like, I always was rapping. So I just ended up taking it 100% serious after Nine Shots. Once I started seeing, like, I'm really getting views, like, people really want me to drop music now, that's when I really took it serious. Before Nine Shots, I wasn't taking it serious. I was just rapping because I was always rapping. Basically, you know, all the lit kids, like, just be, like, you see somebody in the hood with money, you'll tell them, like, yo, you should start rapping. Like, you got the look already. Right. Like that.
By the time I got tapped in with your music, it was like, Don't Start. Part 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
Were those?
Part 1 came out 2019.
Okay.
But I made Part 1 in 2018, though.
But was that like a huge moment in terms of your career getting bigger with those massive records?
Yeah. So for everybody, like, on the outside looking in, Don't Start is, like, my biggest song that got me lit. But before that, me and Bando was doing, like, little freestyles and remixes that was doing, like, 100K in a month, 2 months. So, like, that's really when the buzz started coming in more. And then just me dropping Don't Start made me more viral.
Mm. And that song, like, Don't Start Part 1 is, like, very street-oriented. Like, you're making it very, very clear who you fuck with and who you don't fuck with. Were you always on that, or was that kind of, like, you going that a little bit more?
I was always on that. I was always on that specifically because I be knowing people. So, like, I know some people from this side. I know some people from that side. Or, like, my family cool with some people on that side. My family cool with some people on that side.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, I don't be trying to pick up nobody beef. I don't want no weird energy. I was always on my own shit. Like, for me, if you ever talk to anybody that always been around me or seen me in life, they're going to tell you, like, I always just been to myself. Like, I be around people, but even when I'm around people, I be chilling. I'm the quiet one, just observing, looking, listening. So I be learning. That's how I be moving. I move because I already seen it before. Like, I've been outside. I done watched multiple people go through the same shit that was older than me. So my older niggas went through it. I saw that already. Then I watched my older niggas go through it. Saw that already. So I just always been on my own timing. So from Don't Start, that basically was my, like, separation right there.
Right. So you kind of laid it all out there a bit more.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was seeing that you used to do a lot of records with Siggy Black.
I did one song, but yeah.
Oh, it was only one?
Yeah, facts.
But was that a relationship that kind of got burnt out by you having to choose political affiliations?
Nah, it wasn't really choosing sides, I would say. More so like something else was going on for me, and me and him didn't have no control over it. You know, people don't get on interviews and say shit like that. Me, I don't be caring. I don't care to say a nigga name or like, for me. Me and him ain't have control over a situation. And it just separated us. Feel me? So that's more so like what happened, why we stopped doing music together. But before that, I mean, we did pop out, and that was that. Like, Siggy was just like my first feature from the towns, basically. Like, A lot of people be trying to say he gave me clout, all this other stuff. Like, that was just my first feature from the town. Like, he know how we end up doing music. Like,
right. But I see this like exact thing end up happening with all the Bronx drill shit too, where you'll have like a new artist and they're kind of just doing songs with different people, but then like you fast forward like a year and it's like, oh, like how could they have ever worked with this person when they get along with this person and they don't fuck with this person? And it's like, you know, at first people are just coming in the game just kind of doing music and just, but not
that's why it go back to me doing Don't Start, because like I'm letting you know, doing what I want. I don't jack with y'all jack. I don't jack with they jack. I jack what I jack. And if I want to go over there, then go over there. I'm going to do that.
Right.
And if you're not jacking it, then I'm still not picking a side. I'm still going to be in the middle. I'm just not going to fuck with whoever not jacking it. Because I don't care. It's music. That's how I look at it. If we ain't locked in, getting money together, fucking bitches together, going outside together, I don't care for you. You know, honestly, like, that's basically what Don't Start is about.
Right.
Like, Don't Start, none of that fuckery y'all got going on.
So, but how's your life kind of changed once you put those records out and you start having like a way bigger audience paying attention to you? Like, do you have to start moving around differently?
I move how I always moved. Like, so it wasn't really like a big change. It just, no, I definitely got more smarter with how I was moving, but I was always, the way I move now is how I always move. I don't really like attention. I don't care. Like, people on my team be telling me, like, you got to post more. You got to show people you outside. But I be looking at it like, whoever was outside and there and whoever ran into me and seen me, they knew I was outside. I don't got to post it for anybody. Like, I be understanding it, but I don't really care for, like, certain things.
Right. So you're the type of person, you'll look at Instagram and you'll see a bunch of stuff about you. You see photos you took with a fan earlier that day, and you don't really want to, like, be reposting it necessarily?
Nah, I repost it.
Okay.
I repost, the people I run into, like, if they want to take a picture and they tag, if I see it, I'm going to repost it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm still there and they tag me, I probably won't repost it. I probably repost it later, or if I forget, then I just won't repost it at all. But, like, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So, okay. Once, like, that starts happening, I'm assuming that you had labels hollering at you and there's a lot more attention
right
on you in general.
Right after Don't Start, the labels just trying to get with me.
Right. And were you feeling it, or how those conversations go?
So I wasn't really feeling labels at first, but I had just came home. Like, when Don't Start dropped, I had just came home. So, cause I ended up getting locked up in like 2018.
And how long were you locked up that time?
Probably like 6 months.
What was that over?
I had got locked up for attempt, but my charges dropped to assault. But it was my first case ever. So I ended up copping out. I had copped out to a 6-5 split. So that's like
six months and then five years? Probation. Yeah. Damn, okay.
So yeah, I got that. I was like 19, 20. One of them shits.
Okay.
I think I was 20 because I couldn't get a YO. I don't really remember.
Right.
Then I just came home. So I was going through probation and all that stuff, and they was trying to get me to work. They was trying to get me to go to programs. And I was getting lit, and I'm trying to explain to them, like, yo, I can't go certain places. I was going to court, and I was running into people, but I wasn't running into nobody crazy or nothing. But, like, you know, I was running into people. People were noticing me, like, oh, ain't you what you call it? But you know what come with this shit. So after a while, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to just sign, make that my job, get these people off my back, let them know, like, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, drill wasn't what it is now to where, like, everybody, like, you know, drill, like, the way the mayor and everybody acting in New York, they're looking at it like, oh, this is terrible. Like, this is bad. We got to stop this. Before, it was just like, you know, it was music. Like, we were still talking that talk, but the world wasn't taking it like that yet. So my probation people were looking at it like, ah, he a real artist, like, he with a real record label, this is what he's doing. So that's really what made me sign. Well, speed up the process to sign him.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, if I was a new artist coming out these days, it's like there would be a part of me that would kind of be worried about signing with a label, but it also there would be a almost bigger part of me that'd be worried that if I don't sign with a label in this moment, that I might just kind of be missing out on opportunity or something.
Nah, you gotta trust the process. Or like Bando ain't signed. That's Leaky G Bando, I gotta say his full name.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't signed. That's who I really got lit with. Like, drill rapping, Leaky G Bando, who I got lit with. So he ain't signed. He trust the process. He's seeing his back ends. He doing what he like to do. So
right.
So I already know, like, it's just about working as you get bigger. But like I said, I rushed my process because of what I was going through.
Right. But so you did sign around that time?
I signed like 2020. I wasn't signed in 2019.
Okay. And who'd you sign with?
Signed with Atlantic Records.
Okay. And how's that been?
That's good. They treat me good over there. I mean, a lot of people be complaining about them, but I don't got no complaints right now.
You feel like they understand what kind of artist you are? Or?
They get it. They get it, and they don't. So it's like, you know, I teach them what I could teach them, and they teach me what they could teach me, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just is kind of interesting if you're a drill artist. Like, and, you know, I've heard about a lot of drill artists from the Bronx and stuff signing recently, and it's like sometimes it doesn't feel like the label really switches stuff up for them that much. Like, they just kind of keep dropping music videos. The views maybe go up a little bit.
I feel like if you're an artist right now from New York and you lit, you might as well just do your own thing.
Right.
Just get somebody on your team that can help you learn about TuneCore or United Masters or a lot of this stuff, Digital Kid, and you just figure it out. Make all your money and then try to get like a distribution or a joint venture. Any, feel me? With your bread, like, I don't know, they doing views right now. They doing views, they all on TikTok. They doing, like, the Bronx got their own marketing going on, and they don't even understand that because they so young. So they signing. And they just signing because they're hearing the bread and the label not doing nothing for them, really. The label know, like, oh, these kids are going viral on their own. We don't even have to pay for academics or this. Like, probably some drill artists, but, you know, certain drill artists, certain people pay for that. Some of these artists don't have to pay for that because they're doing it. They're going viral on their own. That it makes the pages want to post them, feel me?
Right.
So it's like, I feel like if you got it to where everybody posting you just off of you and who you are and what you're doing, you don't even got a really song right now.
Because there's very few scenes in America that you can look at where there's a lot of different artists who can do like 500,000 views, 1,000,000 views, et cetera. And New York, and specifically the Bronx, but definitely some artists from Brooklyn and stuff too, are in that category. And it is kind of crazy, like, just because it's just, you see like new artists come out that nobody's ever fucking heard of that can do serious numbers. And sometimes you wonder if it's cap and if there's people buying plays and everything, but a good amount of it does seem legit.
Certain people. There's definitely a lot of cap going on. But
yeah.
But certain people getting them real views, got a real fan base. I mean, even the people with the cap, they fake stop capping and they got their real. For me, it worked for some of them. So I don't know. It's all over the place.
I mean, style-wise, though, it is kind of interesting when you talk to some of the Bronx drill dudes, because it's clear that they think of, like, Brooklyn drill as almost like old school drill, or like it's different than what they're doing, because a lot of their shit is so fast and kind of screamy and like super loud and aggressive and stuff. And it's like you rewind the clock to like the shit that you and Pop were putting out in 2018 or whatever. It's very different. Like this style that they're doing is some other shit.
The styles is different, but you know, the swag the same though.
Right.
It's like, is it really different? Like, I don't know.
There's a lot of similarities, but there's definitely some differences. There's, you know, that shit is kind of punk rock out there.
The beat choices.
Yeah.
They don't really do like UK type beats.
Mm.
They got their own thing going. I don't know. I don't hate on the Bronx, me personally, for me, but they know who helped them with that.
But do you think when you think of Brooklyn drill, you think about it being a little bit more like flashy, fly type of vibe?
That's what Brooklyn doing.
Yeah, that's always been Brooklyn, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, for me.
And whereas, like, a lot of the Bronx drill shit, it's like, they're not really pretending to be having mad money and shit. They're just violent as fuck.
Yeah, that's all they care about.
Is there anybody you listen to from up there that you actually think is dope?
D-Thing. You know, the usuals, I don't really listen to drill music. But, you know, the bros, I ain't gonna lie, the bros be going crazy, because that's what's going on in the town. Like, so the bros be bumping, like, a lot of D-Thing. The regulars, like K-Flock. That's about it.
How do you feel about his situation?
I don't know. I feel bad for Bo. My thoughts, I feel like he's going to be good, though.
Right.
They hold it down, I feel like he's going
to
be good.
Yeah, hopefully. But, I mean, it's kind of wild because, like, I hate to see an artist come out and make mistakes early on in their career. Like, you know, even somebody like Pooh Shiesty is kind of the same thing. He blew up right away. He just didn't get a chance to, like, really change. He just got caught up doing the same type of shit that he was doing before he was famous and didn't really even get a chance to be like, oh, this is how I have to move, because the mistake he made was so serious.
I don't know about, like, I can't really talk for Pooh Shiesty because I don't know how it is where he's from.
Right.
But in New York, all these young niggas that's rapping right now and getting money, don't really got no older bros, bro. They don't got nobody behind them.
They're learning all this shit for the first time.
Yeah, and if they do got older bros, they older bros don't really, they're not really touching no money. So they ain't going to be able to guide them. Like, how you going to tell an 18-year-old who just signed for like 50, 100K what to do? You going to look at you like, nigga, I watch your old ass. For me? I done did more than your old ass. I only hear about stories from 30 years ago. I like, care about them shits no more for me. So niggas not going to listen, and niggas just got to learn the hard way.
Is that how you felt? You feel like you didn't really have that many people around you who were able to guide you?
Nah, I feel like I got people around me that could guide me, and that's why I'm still me.
Mm.
I feel like I'm doing good.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so you just got out, what, like 6 months ago? You went and had to do another little bid?
Yeah, I just got out like 6 months ago.
What was that about?
I was in Jersey. Some bullshit warrants was going on. Just a bullshit case in general.
Uh-huh.
Where they had to go through, they had ran in the crib. It was like 5 people in the crib, 4 probably. I don't really remember the number, but they found like 2 pounds of weed, and they just took me in. They only took me though. Like, I don't know. They was just watching me. I don't know what was going on, to be honest.
Having 2 pounds of weed in Jersey is a big deal, I guess. It ain't nothing out here,
really.
I'm pretty sure.
They was trying to make it seem like I was a distributor.
There's probably 2 pounds of weed in here right now.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be a problem. I don't know. And they made it seem like they found the gun with me in the crib. Like, it was a whole bunch of, you know how they make it seem on the internet when somebody get locked up.
Mm.
But it wasn't everything that was going on. It wasn't how it went on. So.
Right. Damn, man. It's like, it's so easy to forget from everywhere else in the country about how serious the gun shit is in New York.
Yeah.
And the craziest shit I've seen in recent memory was this little TJ getting 2 gun charges in like a week.
Yeah.
Back to back.
I saw that too.
That's like unheard of, I guess, or normally.
Nah, niggas be getting caught with them gun charges in New York for a fact.
But that just draws attention to the reality of the situation, is that motherfuckers don't feel safe without it. And clearly
that's
with it.
That's everywhere though in the hood, though. Mm. It's just, you know, niggas just famous now, so it's just more broadcasted, but that's regular, though.
It's so obvious they're targeting them, though.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, 2 gun charges back to back. Of course, they're going to want to watch you.
It's so out of the ordinary to even get searched 2 times in a week, you know? Like, for him to get searched and for them to find it,
niggas be posting a lot, niggas be doing a lot, niggas be getting locked up, so we watching you now. You keep getting locked up with guns, now we trying to figure out, you know how it goes. Like, they harassing us.
But the crazy part is that this is like their revenge on him for getting shot. Like, oh, you want to get shot? Okay, we're going to search you all the fucking time, and we're going to find out about anything you might have on you.
Nah, yeah. Cops be on some fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, but so, what? Okay, so that most recent charge, how long do you have to be in there for?
How long I was in? I think I was in there for 8 months.
Okay.
I was in there for 8 months. I had, because I was still on probation for New York. So, when I finished up in Jersey, I had copped out to the marijuana charge, because clearly that's what I was caught with. So I caught out to the marijuana charge and basically did a county bid. And in New Jersey, half of the county bid is 364, but you could get 180. Once you do 180 days, you could get off. You know? So, well, if you got a good lawyer, for me, I had a good lawyer.
So you were locked up in Jersey?
Yeah, I was locked up in New Jersey.
And how different was that than being locked up in New York?
I don't really know nobody in Jersey. So it's like I'm in a whole nother world. I'm just moving around, figuring it out. I was running into some people that's from New York.
I feel like being locked up in New York City, like, the gang shit has got to be like number one conversation you're having.
New York ain't nothing to play with.
Is it like that in Jersey too?
People in Jersey, because that's their city.
Right.
So they running into people that they got beef with, problems with, they beating niggas up. But it wasn't really like a lot of cuttings going on in New York. It's treacherous. But the sad part is I felt more comfortable in New York than Jersey, but that's because I felt like I was home when I was in New York.
Right. But so Jersey was grimy as fuck in its own way?
Yeah, Jersey, like, for me, if niggas come in the crib and they got a problem, niggas go right in the cell, they fight, get it on, pack a nigga up. I don't know. Jersey was calm, though. But, like, I wasn't in, like, a Essex County, Hudson County, so I ain't really see nothing crazy. I was in Bergen County. Like, Bergen County, not really nothing serious for me, but they had shut down Passaic County and sent everybody basically from Paterson, New Jersey, to Bergen County. So that's when the drama really was pulling up. Like, whoever got beef from over there, they was pulling up, fighting niggas and doing what they do. I was sturdy, though. I was chilling. Everybody
you're
was
just staying out of it? You're like, I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah, this has nothing to do with me.
I was like the baby. I was getting whatever I wanted in there. Like,
really?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Why? Just because they fuck with the music and everything?
I was the youngest in there. So, I mean, I was the youngest in there. I don't move like an old bozo. So I was doing what I wanted. I was on the phone, tablet.
And everybody tapped in music-wise?
Yeah, if they wasn't, they got
they
tapped
were
in.
Once you were in there for a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, facts. I was in there for a little minute.
Right. And so, I mean, was it tough for you, though? Because you used to nice shit at this point. You used to having, like, a good amount of money, nice lifestyle on the outside. It must have been tough.
Now, I was still good. The only thing that I was, like, I wasn't getting no haircuts. I wasn't getting no shape-ups, no haircuts, no none. That's how I started growing my hair. I ain't cutting my hair while I'm in there. Like, I wasn't trying to get used to staying in there. Like, even though I'm hearing everything I was hearing, I'm looking at it like, nah, I'm going home soon. Like,
so how often can you get a haircut in there?
In Jersey?
Either one.
Whenever you want.
Oh, okay. So you can.
Yeah, just go right to the CO, tell them you need a little razor, have one of your men shape you up, or you shape yourself up if you want. It's like barbers in the compound, because you can't really move around. Like, Jersey, yeah. Like, only way you leaving wherever you at is, like, you going to court. I'm going to medical. Like, when I was going on visits is where we at. Feel me? So, like, all I do is walk up the stairs, walk up to the second tier, and go right in the little booth to the visit. Glass, phone.
It is kind of crazy because that is kind of the only time that you get to see photos of rappers with their hair fucked up is when they're locked up.
Yeah.
You get to see them with a little
other
bit
than
of
that, I was good. Mm-hmm. I had a couple bunkies. He was good. Eating good. No, I was chilling. I just couldn't be fly.
Right. I feel bad for the rappers who have to get their haircut every week. I'm going to be real with you. Although I'm on like every 2 weeks, so I guess it's
me,
not
when
that
I'm
different.
Home, I don't even get a shape up. I don't be caring about that shit.
You don't care?
Nah, I move around. If I probably got an interview, I go get it. If I'm about to do a show, I get cleaned up, and I be chilling.
There's a lot of pressure.
I don't know.
And to me, it feels a little bit like hiding the true nature of how beautiful a black person's hair is to keep it super short all the time. It's like, just let it show. I miss the afro. I'm going to be real with you.
Nah, yeah, I'm growing my hair right now.
Okay. The afro was great. That's probably a lot of work too, though.
Yeah, see, when you got an afro, then you got to fake get a little tape up, shape up every once a week.
Yeah, because to keep it all like the same exact length,
yeah,
that must take fucking a lot of work.
I ain't doing that. I'm braiding my shit up.
Right. I seen a dad on the playground when I was taking my kid to park the other day, and it was pretty clear to me that his kids, like, he had never cut their hair. Like, their hair was, like, this fucking long. And it was just like, wow, this dude's dedicated. I wonder if he's just going to have them like that for their whole lives.
I used to have dreads when I was little, too. I
really?
I used to be wild on. Yeah, I cut my dreads when I went to high school. Like, 2 days before the first day of high school, I cut my dreads.
Were your parents disappointed?
Yeah, my mom was tight.
Really?
I cut it without knowing.
Damn. That's got to be tough for a parent. You want them to buy in on your religion so bad, and then they're just like, no, I'm trying to get fresh.
Was it? I don't know. You know, I was young. It's a lot going on for me. Parents don't be understanding sometimes. Like, but I get it, though. I ain't going to lie. Now that I'm older, I fake fuck with it. So it's like, I don't know. I like how I was raised, honestly.
Right. I mean, to raise a kid in New York has got to be the scariest fucking thing in the world. Just knowing everything that's out there. And that's why everybody I meet from New York, the girls grow up like super fucking tough because they're just getting hollered at on the streets so much that they just end up with this personality where they really are not trying to let you fuck with them. And like when girls grow up in the suburbs or whatever, their attitude is different because they just haven't had this much abuse thrown at them on the street and shit over the years.
They're a little more friendly.
I don't want to make it all about catcalling, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like girls who grow up in New York, they got to grow up tough. And same thing if you're a dude in New York, like almost everybody, like, you got to fight or you got to, like, be tough enough to avoid fighting. Like, you got to just, I don't know. It's not like other places.
Nah, in fact. It's crazy because I don't even hear a lot of people talk about New York like that. When people be talking about New York, they be acting like New York is, like, a walk in the park.
Hell no. I lived in New York for 7 years, and it's so much more hardcore than, like, most places that you could grow up.
Where you was out in New York, though? You was, like, in the city, downtown?
I was in Astoria for, like, 2-3 years, and then I was in Bushwick for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, but those still good parts, though. I mean,
but this is back in like 2004, so it was like, I saw Bushwick getting gentrified, and was very confused. I didn't know the word gentrified yet at that point, and I was like, why the fuck is there like more organic delis popping up every fucking month? But yeah, I don't know. It's just like I just seen it, like everybody I knew out there. It's just they grow up like with a different sense of like having to protect what you got going on, you know? Because everybody's looking to take your shit out there.
Nah, yeah, definitely.
One way or another. Okay, so are you in a different place in your life? Because when I'm listening to like your more current music, it kind of feels like you are not as excited about necessarily putting out all this crazy violent energy that you might have been putting out early on.
You feel like I was putting out violent shit early on?
Well, I guess you could put it that way, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I was talking crazy. I don't feel like I was talking violent, like how to be violent right now.
Okay, maybe not compared to some of the shit these days. But nah, like a lot of the stuff I liked from you in like 2019 was like stuff that when I listen to it now compared to your current shit, I'm like, oh, he was wilding back then.
Nah, I guess, I don't know. You know, life be changing. Like back then I was more hands on with everything. So right now it's like I'm chilling. Getting money. Figuring out life. Actually paying bills. Ain't really, I mean, like that. Time's changing. So much going on with music right now. I'm just looking for something else to talk about. I don't really want to talk about the same shit I was talking about before. Before it was like, that's what I was around. That's what I was talking about. Now I'm just around more different shit. I'm in Cali. You know how Cali is. So
yeah.
And Miami and Atlanta.
Wait, so you're not spending as much time in New York now?
I be in New York. I be in New York a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I be moving around. Even when I'm in New York, I'm moving around. I'm just, my mom be on some whole other shit. Like when I do music, my music on what I'm on for me.
Right. Did losing Pop Smoke kind of change the way that you thought about how you wanted your life to play out? I'm sure you lost plenty of other people too, but I'm sure that seeing him just blow the fuck up and then have it taken from him so quickly, I mean, that must have made you sort of think twice about what this rap stardom shit was all about, right?
Not really. I looked at it like it's crazy because like I woke up out of my sleep, like damn, what the fuck? Because like I think like right before that he just got locked up, but he ended up coming home like in a couple of hours though.
Right.
And then like a month later he just died. So I'm like, damn, like this nigga shit was like a roller coaster. So like. That's the person who made me like jewelry, though. I ain't really care about jewelry. Like, I used to look at jewelry, like, from Cameron and all the older rappers from New York, but, like, he really made me like jewelry. Like, even when I was about to sign and get bread, I used to tell Big Bro, like, not Pop, I'm talking about my son's 30. I used to tell him, like, I don't really want to chain. Like, probably just do it. Nah, I used to tell him, like, I don't really want to watch. I probably just do, like, a little cube and chill out. Like, I wasn't really heavy on it. Every time I'm seeing Pop, he in different type of Cubans. You know, he got little Wu pieces on. My son backing out the AP. You know, enjoying his shit, like, and I'm seeing it, like, right in my face. So he made me want to live the life even more. I ain't gonna lie.
Right. Damn, but, so, how'd you feel, though, when you found out?
Found out I was tight. One, he used to call me almost every other day when we got cool. So, he used to just call me, probably be in a rave, back out some bread. No, just motivation, like, you know, I'm still in the hood and I'm getting lit. I'm doing my little million views, but, like, you know, he got the hit. He the one that's out of here right now. So, you know, he just called me, like, motivating. He went on his little UK tour. He called me every day, showing me who he around, who he meeting.
Because that was that one clip of him shouting you out on some UK radio show. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
That was out there,
I forgot,
right?
I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, but that was like, oh, damn, so he really fucked with you. Like, he didn't. He's like most rappers, if you're like, oh, like who else do you fuck with from your city? They're not trying to talk about anybody besides themselves. But he was showing real love right there.
Nah, yeah, in fact, he was. That's Pop was my son. I ain't gonna lie, I was fucking with Pop. I was tight when he died. We had a lot playing too. So, like, before I signed to Atlantic, Pop was trying to sign me. A lot of people don't know that. I don't even think I even sat down in an interview before. But like,
really?
Yeah, Pop was trying to sign me. So, we was going through a lot. So, like, that's why our 30 remix. Like, the 30 remixes, I was happy that I was able to get that out because we been recorded that song. Like, Pop picked the beat on that song. Pop was on some, like, yo, this beat right here sound more like club vibes. Like, I was with him when he made his verse. Everything, like, that night was just different, like, for me, like, so it was like, I don't know. We had a lot planned, and then when he died, I just had to pick myself up, like, all right, since I can't go this route, I got to go this route. You know, I just had to figure shit out.
Right. And so that song, he had hopped on the remix to that song, but then it ended up getting put on his posthumous project after the fact?
Yeah. because when we made the song, I already had the original out. So everybody already knew the original. Like, Dirty was already my biggest song by myself. So he was been supposed to do the remix, but then he ended up dying, you know, people who got control over his music and his verses. I guess they forgot about the verse he did for me. So they never was able to grab, you know how they was taking verses from some certain people in New York, or like his old verses and putting it on other songs for his first album.
Right.
They wasn't able to snatch my verse. I guess he had so much song, they probably didn't see it. I ended up doing the show and I performed it like the ending of 2020 or 2021. And it just went viral. So everybody like that know about our song together and know like, oh, they started remembering. They're like, yeah, we got to put this on a new album. So that's how I went about.
Definitely. And but did that like take that song to a whole different level just because his albums get streamed
it basically
so fucking much?
Yeah, recreated the song. I dropped 30 in 2019.
Oh, yeah. So gave it a whole new life.
Yeah, basically. So I dropped 30 2019, just the audio though, no video. And I dropped the video the beginning of 2020 before he passed. So he watched it do like a million views. I did like a million views in a day on Worlds though. So he watched all that and then but he already gave me the verse though. But I just show him like I end up dropping the original and shit. And then basically he dropped that album like July 2021. So from 2019 to 2021, it just brought it back.
Damn. Yeah, rest in peace. I only got a chance to meet him once. It was at Rolling Loud. It was like a couple months before he passed, I think. Yeah, it was terrible. But, okay, so where are you at in terms of what you feel like you need to do for your career at this point in order to take it to the next level? Like, where's your focus at?
I'm just trying to find a way to elevate my sound. Just work more, drop more. Right back to how I came out. Like, when I came out, I was consistent. I was probably dropping like every 21 days, once a month, probably do a feature in between that. So I was just making sure I was being heard all the time. So right now, I'm just about to get right back in that same mode. Probably do way more tapes than before.
You feel like
just a lot of singles.
Doing those bids that kind of fucked up your momentum because it's like it keeps you from dropping consistently?
Basically. Like when I was locked up just now, I was supposed to keep flooding. But my mind wasn't on no, I don't know, it's not the same when you're in jail. Like, you don't get the feel of energy. So I dropped one song when I was in jail, and I ain't really get the feel of energy. So I ain't like that. I'm calling, I'm trying to see how much views I did. Niggas like, yeah, you just did like 10K. I'm like, I would've did more if I was home. So it's like, well, I did more than 10K, clearly, but I'm talking about like,
right away,
for the first couple hours.
Yeah.
I would've did more if I was home. Like, I ain't really want to post, like, I wasn't there to enjoy it, so I didn't really care about it. My mind was just focused on, like, I should be home my next court date, so don't even drop nothing because I don't want to drop and then I come home and it's like, oh, this nigga. Like, I ain't want to start a whole free, busy movement. I ain't want to do so much just because I wasn't there to enjoy it. I didn't really care for it. So I feel like that's what fucked the momentum up because, like, they stopped hearing me. Then when I come back, it's like 30 new niggas that's actually lit. It's not like just 30 new rappers. It's like 30 new niggas that's actually lit. Actually got a million different things going on with them. So
yeah, it must feel wild in New York just trying to stay current and on top of shit, especially when you're locked up. Then it's just like the biggest fucking handicap because the shit is
especially,
just moving
especially
so
when
fast.
I'm away, I don't know who I'm competing with. I don't know who the new competition is. I don't know what the new way. Like, I came home, niggas doing Jersey beats. Niggas not even doing UK beats no more. So it's like, like, what the fuck? Like, now I gotta find a way to, like, you know, make my way into shit.
Definitely. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, but the pace of hip-hop is just, we never really seen anything like it, I guess.
Not at all.
Constant advancing, yeah. All right, so what should people look out for? What you got coming that we need to know about?
I'm working on my mixtape right now. That should be coming soon. Probably like, I like dropping when it's hot outside. I feel like that's my type of weather, so probably like around June, like beginning of July, beginning of June. I'm working on the I don't even know if I'm supposed to say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm working on the tape with my son Shawnee Bin Laden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got him coming in a couple days.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's why I was just on the phone with that nigga.
Oh, that's
yesterday,
dope.
I think. But yeah, me and I'm supposed to be working on the tape. I got a mixtape coming. I'm about to just flood. Like, I'm about to just do me.
Fire. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it.
For sure. Busy Banks. Turn them up on all platforms. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.